I'd like to call this council in Budget Committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
There are no announcements this evening. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? I would like to declare a conflict, Madam Clerk, with respect to the request by Crystal Ridge Community Center, which is part of the addendum, which I should have made reference to. I will now. Request by the Royal Canadian Legion Branch for a grant of $3,000 with respect to their 2017 150th Canadian celebration, Canadian birthday celebration, and then the $25,000 part of the addendum. I have a conflict. Yes. So item 2.7, the Crystal Ridge Community Center grant of $25,000, because I'm a member of the Ridgeway Lions Club, which predominantly makes up the membership of the Crystal Ridge Community Center. And although there's no pecuniary interest between the Lions Club and the Crystal Ridge Community Center, this is a monetary matter that has a pecuniary impact on the Crystal Ridge Community Center. If there are no other, Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to declare a conflict of interest regarding the senior citizens, the Lions Seniors Complex grant request, as I am a member of the Fort Erie Lions that helped to operate that facility.
That is item 5.1. Thank you.
Thank you.
If there are no other disclosures of pecuniary interest, then I'll hand the chair over to Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Corporate Services is now open. We have a presentation by Jonathan Jansen, the Director of Corporate Services.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. Tonight is the General Levy Operating Budget, which is the last budget we consider as part of the 2017 budget process. Tonight, here's an outline for what we'll be doing. We'll take a look at the timetable and the next steps related to that. We'll be looking at some background to the budget and reviewing 2016 and some of the accomplishments from that year. We'll look at the 2017 base budget and the impact assessment changes that impact that. We'll then look at the supplementary items that have been submitted to council for consideration. There's some risks and multi-year forecasts that we'll take a look at, and then pause for questions, individually review each of the supplementary requests in your package, and then respond to any questions. Just to note that the presentation you're seeing tonight is also available on the town's website under the budget page. So we've passed the capital and the water and wastewater budget. Previously, the water and wastewater, just this past Monday night in time to be in effect for the January 2017 water and wastewater bills. Tonight has two components. The two reports on the agenda are CBC 06, which is assessment analysis, as well as CBC 07 for the general levy budget report. Staff have scheduled February 1st as a follow-up meeting, anticipating council may want more time to examine any of the changes and requests. And following that, the budget bylaws for both the general levy and the capital will be brought forward at the end of February. In March, we anticipate receiving the final tax rate setting and other policy issues from the region. We then have our own tax rate bylaw in May, which is in time for us to issue the final tax bills in June. The preparation of the 2017 budget is guided by a few key areas. One is Council's Corporate Strategic Plan, and the related strat plan committees and champions continue to identify issues and any budget impacts that they may have. Report number CS21-2016 came before council in September, and one of the main factors there was a reference to the CPI of 1.5% for controllable costs. Corporate and Community Services discussed the target to limit the total tax bill increase to approximately 3-4%. The Strategy Corp organizational review resulted in many changes to the reporting structure, such as the naming of departments, but more importantly, in terms of the reports you see tonight, the cost centers themselves. The 2016 budget was approved with the previous structure, but this budget tonight now aligns with this change. And lastly, the community engagement options were presented to Community and Corporate Services and resulted in some enhancements for communications. This diagram you've seen before, it summarizes the three main components of the budget for this year. With both what's been approved and proposed for 2017, there is approximately $60 million in total funding. For tonight, the general levy operating budget consolidates the operating or the immediate or one-year needs of the town for all departments, boards, and committees to deliver the services. The town, of course, does collect taxes for its services, but also for that of the Niagara region and the province. The town portion of the total tax bill is $24.7 million, or 42%. Similarly, the region's portion, and you can see some of the examples of services they provide just to compare, is also 42%. And the provincial portion is approximately 16%, or $9.6 million. This is an overview of the tax rate calculation. So the total levy requirements that this budget will approve are divided by the total assessment that MPAC sets to come up with a total tax rate. For example, from last year, the total budget of $24.7 million was divided by the total weighted assessment of $3.7 billion to come up with a tax rate of 0.65118%. And then you can see as well, so in determining a property owner, what they pay, they take the property assessment that they receive from MPAC that went out this last August and this last fall for some other properties, multiplied by that tax rate. A bit more background in terms of the tax comparison. This is a slide that we update annually to give some context to where the town or how the town compares. More specifically here in Niagara, the BMA municipal study is the key guide that most municipalities use for that in Ontario. And this is done by comparing the tax burden for like properties. And the primary consideration we use for that is the detached bungalow. The average for Niagara, you can see there, is $3,308. Fort Erie has the lowest of the 13 municipalities in this group. Only Fort Erie and Port Colborne were actually given a low rating by the study. And Fort Erie is also below average for most other residential, commercial, and industrial measures. So this graph just demonstrates that position within the region from that study, showing Fort Erie at the low end. But then a bit more, a better measure is the municipal burden as a whole. This compares both the levy and the water and wastewater budget. This we did present back in December as well for the water and wastewater. And this shows that Fort Erie does approximate the average right in the middle with the average of the municipalities. Council's corporate strategic plan, of course, was approved in 2015, focusing on the three pillars of a prosperous and growing community, effective, sustainable infrastructure, and strong customer service relationships and communications. Council members are, again, moving forward with each one of those. And I won't take too much time tonight to dwell on the accomplishments in the following slides, because we did just receive report CAO-16 back on December 12th with a presentation highlighting some of those recent items. So this is strat plan A, number of items to read there on that list, including funding for the Bay Beach program. Pillar B, numerous items there as well, initiatives including some strategic increases for the capital reserves, as well as some funding applications and opportunities there. And then Pillar C, various customer service relationship and communication initiatives in line with what Council recently saw. The review of the 2016 financial results continues throughout January with final payments and adjustments being made in the coming couple weeks. The town has controlled costs and maximized some key non-tax revenue areas and will have a levy surplus. Also, for the first time in several years, the water and wastewater operations will have a surplus for 2016. Of these, certain allocations are made where required by statute or by policy, such as the reserve policy of the town. And then following that, the financial statements will be audited by Grant Thornton in April and adopted by the Audit Committee in May to be presented to Council in June with any surplus recommendations. Section 4 now we turn to is the 2017 budget, and we first look at the base components. These are all changes to revenues or expenses approved through previous budgets. The levy is driven by the cost of base services, which is those things that the town currently delivers or and expects to continue. It includes providing maintenance of our assets, all administrative or overhead costs, and all those costs are offset by other non-tax sources of revenue to determine the tax rate borne by taxpayers. The overall base budget is a decrease of 2.53%, so that's the change in the total opening levy balance at the top of Appendix 1 in Column 1 of $24.66 million. This is even less than the decrease that was estimated in the report to Council in September, due largely to increases to the budget in non-tax revenues from sustained activity, particularly we've had in the development area. Appendix 1 in Report CBC07 does highlight the changes year over year with percentages, and Appendix 3 reports the impacts by functional revenue or expense area, such as wages and benefits. And all of the related departmental reports are included in Tab 7 of the budget binder. So now to base revenues, just components of the base that we'll look at. $464,602 relates to increases in revenues. In the past few years, we've included some tax revenue changes for write-offs and vacancy rebates. However, this year, this was one item that we did defer to 2018 as a way to mitigate some of the challenges and increases in assessment shifts we have. Non-tax revenues such as building permits and cell tower revenue have increased. And regards to provincial matters, the assessment equalization grant that we get from the Ontario Municipal Partnership Fund, or OMPF, has increased again by about $77,000 this year. This will be addressed later in the supplementary section and risk section as the funding is not guaranteed. This graph shows the breakdown of all revenue sources for the general levy. Tax needs are offset by interest earnings and grants, user fees, and gaming revenues, and some other components there. Base budget expenses have a net increase for 2017 of $399,000. Debt costs are increasing $207,000 due to the first full year of the debt for the LED street lighting capital program. Wages and benefits are estimated to increase $356,000, and that's for all union, non-union firefighters, mayor and council, and committees. Operating impacts that were presented from the capital budget and what was approved in November total $69,000. Grants are decreasing $259,000 overall, and the biggest impact there is the expiry of the Fort Erie Live Racing Consortium grant. That was $250,000 in 2016. In 2017, the first payment to the DSBN for the theater begins of $500,000. However, that's fully funded by reserves. EDTC and library increases, as presented January 11th, are a combined total increase of $27,000. And all other operating costs have a small net decrease of $1,000. This would include all materials and supplies, fuel, street lighting, utilities, and so on. The third section of Appendix 1 in terms of base expense adjustments is the removal of all one-time impacts that were included last year. These total $559,000. It includes the Habitat for Humanity grant, the additional road resurfacing works of about $403,000 that were included last year from the OMPF increase, an additional contribution to the reserves for physician recruitment, the contribution to the Niagara Boulevard cycle route, as well as Ridgeway BIA tree pit irrigation. So this chart is the breakdown of the total expenses by type for the base budget. As with most municipalities, wages and benefits are the largest cost at 43% of the town's budget. Materials and supplies represent 27%, followed by reserve transfers, grants, and debt costs. So these three components are in the table on slide 23. When you look at the combined total, it's a base budget decrease of $625,000, which is a 2.53% decrease year over year. A big story for the 2017 budget is the impacts that the changes in reassessment have had as determined by MPAC. This impacts the way that the levy is distributed to the taxpayers and has two components. The assessment growth is the annual benefit that taxpayers have from new development in the town and reduces the tax burden on existing taxpayers. The total for 2017 is 0.93%, which is a welcome reduction to existing taxpayers and is larger than recent years, as we would expect. The reassessment shifts result from the impact changes that they do every 4 years. This was last done in 2012, and property decreases are applied immediately if there is a decrease in assessment, and any increases are divided equally to be phased in over 4 years. The reassessment shifts don't affect the budget, but how it's distributed, and the average residential phase-in for 2017 is a 0.59% decrease. We always like to include this slide because it shows for the average taxpayer how your own change in taxes is impacted in relation to the assessment. If your assessment increase that you receive from MPAC is less than the town average decrease in year one, of course this being a decrease because all decreases are immediate, then your taxes will increase less than that presented in tonight. If your assessment increase is more than the town average of that 0.59% decrease, then your increase will be more than what's presented today. Despite the year one overall assessment decrease, the residential class still must carry for 2017 3.71% more than other classes. This means that before any other changes to the budget are done, that the median household must pay 3.71% more than the prior year. As a result of this, that's been one of the biggest challenges in this budget. The town have made several proposals to mitigate the increase for 2017. It's important to note that we do present our budget for the median residential household. Excuse me. And in fact, it is a certain type of residential household that excludes, for example, waterfront properties, which also went down, shifting more of the burden to this class of residential. But note that in as much as this shift is going towards the residential, that then means that other classes, such as the multi-residential, commercial, and industrial, will receive the benefit of that shift and generally have tax changes less than the residential. This table summarizes the base budget with the effects of that assessment growth. So that 2.53% decrease we previously showed also has the benefit overall of growth from new development, not from the shift, of 0.93%. So the levy change year over year with that assessment growth is a 3.46% decrease. That's the amount at the bottom of column 2 on appendix 1. Now we look at how we present that for the median household with the assessment change impacts. So for 2017, MPACT's given us a report that shows the median value as $187,000. And so this table is all components, the town, region, and education, and the total that the town bills. The total 0.27% increase at the bottom right. It's the equivalent of 62 cents a month, greater than 2016. And just a couple notes at the bottom there, the regional impacts are based on the approved budget, but as mentioned earlier, we're still waiting for any tax policy changes. And the educational impact uses an estimate of for Fort Erie based on our assessment relative to provincial numbers. So that's it for the base budget in Section 4. This is Section 5, which looks at the supplementary items. These are Appendix 2 of the report. This is for any enhanced services beyond the base level of service the current town currently provides. Includes one-time projects as well as new ongoing services. The council has received a copy of all the supplementary forms. These are included in tab 8 of the binder. The first two are items that have been previously communicated to council and for both base or ongoing or one time. And then sections 3 and 4 are for any new requests, again, separated into base and one time. So for part one, the total is $744,712. And we have six items there that we'll look in more detail later, but $500,000 for capital reserves in keeping with previous years, a $40,000 increase for tree planting, particularly related to the emerald ash borer effects. Stormwater management facilities maintenance issues were presented by way of memo to council in November and noted an impact there of $19,000. The transit route improvements plan was presented in September and requires $77,000 for 17 and a full 12-month impact in 2018 and 19 of $237,000 and $329,000. Wages and benefits for both employment services and digital services were just presented and reviewed by council this last Monday night with $50,000 to convert a part-time position in employment services to full-time, as well as $58,000 for digital services with full-year impacts in 2018. Part two are one-time costs, $672,900. The first item is one of the largest. It's $400,000 for tree removal. This is ongoing. We've reported to council the last 2 years on the impacts of the emerald ash borer. This amount has been proposed with funding from the general levy rate stabilization reserve. And this is in part because while the need is still over the next few years, perhaps more, it's not an ongoing or base issue into the future beyond this replacement need. So the approach has been to say that we'll reevaluate every year going forward and see what the needs are and how that might be accelerated or accommodated within the budget. the road resurfacing increase of $480,000 for OMPF. This is similar to last year where we don't want to rely wholly on those increases. That would increase our road resurfacing budget from $1.1 million to approximately $1.6 million. Canada Fireworks, $10,000 have been included as a one-time item, similar to how the item was approved last year. Dominion Repertory Theater requested $7,500 grant towards production for Canada's 150th. EDTC made two supplementary requests at their January 11th budget meeting, totaling $150,000. Community or Crystal Ridge Community Center requested $25,000 towards their 2017 operating budget, and just Monday night, the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 230 requested $3,000 grant towards Canada Day celebrations. Part three is $63,460. This is the first impact for 2017 of what we expect to be new legislation requiring greater sidewalk plowing and sanding that's expected to come into effect November 1st. So that provides for expanded need for 2017 with greater effects shown there for 2018 and beyond, as well as wages and benefits of $25,460 for a park and arena operations supervisor using some existing part-time and full-year effects of $71,000 in 2018. Lastly, in terms of supplementary, $7,500 is the net one-time costs. The first two items are both proposed to be funded with existing rate stabilization reserves, the coal docks assessments, and the $24,700 for some continuing education development. And lastly, the Snowbirds event, $7,500 is proposed as a contribution toward an event for May of this year. So this table shows the total effects for the levy of all of these changes, including those supplementary items. So it's the total of Appendix 1 and Appendix 2, so the bottom line of Appendix 2, showing $1.49 million of supplementary items, or 6.04%. So that, combined with the 3.46% decrease, would result in a 2.57% increase for the town portion. This graph shows recent history of tax levy increases, both for the town portion in green, as well as the total tax bill in black. The small, solid 2017 bars, so the one second from the left, shows the base budget, and the shaded bars at the far left show the impact of all supplementary items if they were to be approved. So you can see with the shaded black bar, the tentative total tax increase of just under 3%. And the average for these years shown for the last, since 2011, is 5.42% for the town and 2.15% for the total tax bill. So this is the last summary of the total impacts for all items, the bottom right number being 2.98% year over year for the median taxpayer. Just to highlight some risks, some of these have been around for a couple of years, some are emerging more so, but the OMPF amount, as noted a couple times, is something that we've hesitated to rely on due to the fact that it's not guaranteed year to year, so it's important to be cautious with the use of that funding. With assessment appeals, we still have a few larger commercial and industrial appeals dating back to the 2012 appeals, or sorry, the 2012 reassessment. Most of the residential appeals from 2012 at this point have been resolved, but we would definitely expect a new round of appeals from the 2016 reassessment base and potentially some resulting tax write-offs. The budget includes the region's levy, as noted, some of the items are outstanding related to that, and the effects of the Emerald Ash Borer continue to be shown around town, and this is a risk in terms of funding, as right now only one-time amounts are being proposed to deal with it year to year. Analysis of the town's asset management plan continues to support an infrastructure gap that is larger than the $5 million gap, annual gap identified with the existing funding strategy for core infrastructure. This is definitely a long-term risk. The $500,000 strategy is at the end of its life and needs to be updated and refined using the asset studies and master plans that are being completed and coming to a close this year. And that does impact potentially some provincial funding relative to our commitment to funding that gap. Interest rates, of course, if they increase, they improve our investment yields, but it creates larger debt carrying costs, and the opposite, of course, is true. Legal matters, there are some outstanding legal items that we continue to monitor for any exposure beyond our insurance coverage. And as noted, the educational tax rates have been released later and later in recent years, and right now the amounts are based on our best estimates. Opportunities, we are dealing with a number of infrastructure stimulus funding programs right now. We are expecting some to be announced or in the coming couple months. We're hopeful as well that there will be others that are coming online related to that. The Canadian Motor Speedway project has significant potential impact on town resources that would have to be addressed. And the theater is close to being fully funded with the operational surpluses of the last 2 years, and commitments have the opportunity to be reduced by the town share of fundraising, which could then result in that reserved funding being applied to other purposes. For a multi-year forecast, the two-year forecast uses current estimates and excludes any 2017 supplementary amounts. The forecast for the base is an increase of 3.4% and 3.1% for 18 and 19. A couple other housekeeping items is the province does require the town to not include or to formally pass a recommendation to not include amortization, but ultimately if that requirement through an Ontario regulation were to be gone, the minimum for municipalities might be to fund our amortization. Optimally, we would be funding the full amount of what the asset management plan requires, and currently the town is about $400,000 short of funding amortization. Other forecast impacts include the expiry of the current collective bargaining agreement at the end of 2016, as well as other market factors such as insurance and utilities. So moving forward from here, we have a section of recommendations, sections 1 to 4, similar to how they're presented in Appendix 2 of the report, are all the separate supplementary items. Part 5 allows us to approve separately the grants. Part 6, the BIA levies also require their own approval, so they have their own separate resolution. Part 7, the total levy recommendation in the resolutions will be updated by any changes of what's approved or denied in the supplementary sections. And then part 8, as just noted, was the need to exclude amortization. That concludes my presentation. I give the mic back to the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Jansen. Very well done. We'll now open it up for questions or comments from council members. Okay. Go ahead, Councilor Lubberts, and then we'll go to His Worship.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Mr. Jansen, slide 20, we could go back to that. It says the increases in expenses, and then at the second to the bottom, The EDTC is included. That's total between the library and the EDTC. That's not one or the other total.
Through the chair, that's correct. Just for simplicity, those two from that evening were combined. The totals are in Appendix 1 of the report, and I can give you those breakdowns if you wish.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
And on slide 29, the $40,000 for the ash borer, the tree planting, that's the $40,000 will be for tree planting and not the tree removal from the ash borer. That's new trees being planted. That's what we're asking additional $40,000
for. Chair, that's correct. 1.2 is $40,000 for tree planting, and item 2.1 is $400,000 for tree removal.
That's on slide 30, the tree removal?
Yes.
I don't know if we can make the recommendation now, but has it been any thought of making the $400,000 on slide 30 a base budget similar to what we had with the grant funding for the Live Racing Consortium over a three-year period?
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. We may want to consider details of each supplementary request later when we go through them one by one,
okay, all right.
But I will comment on that. You're correct. It is a 3 to 5 year, potentially more, issue. We were trying to avoid the impacts of adding it to the full base of the budget, particularly this year with the assessment shift challenges. So that's why we were dealing with it 1 year at a time, potentially as well when we know we have a general levy rate stabilization reserve that can handle that at this point. So that's why it was considered to be one time at this point.
Councilor Lubberts, do you have any other questions?
No, that's fine. Thanks.
Okay, the chair recognizes his worship.
Thank you very much, Councilor Nutt. Just wanted to go to slide 24 and maybe get some further comment with respect to the reassessment shifts and the impact of those on the residential property owners.
Sure. Report CBC06 really does provide a lot more of the details and analysis of that issue, but the shift is what's noted at the bottom of slide 25. The 3.71%, really this is a result of a larger movement from multi-residential, commercial, and industrial classes into the residential class. So while residential properties are healthy and assessments are growing, other classes had some sizable, large decreases to force more of the tax revenue to the residential base.
And if I might, Mr. Chair, so I understand that there are at least three large reassessments involving properties, and are those finalized, or are there appeals relative to those?
Through the chair, to the mayor, we have submitted a number of items to MPAC. Unfortunately, there were a couple larger errors initially with the roll that was returned. The one in particular that was the largest has already been corrected so that the effects aren't impacted by this, but that 3.71% is the other impacts. We've had lengthy talks with them to try and get them to do as much as they can to move some of these assessments to where we think they should be. We've looked at benchmarking them to other properties in the region in terms of our decreases, but they continue to support some of their amounts using their approaches, which can be income-based or capital-based. So we do continue to work with them to try and change some of those, and we're hopeful that with the list that we provided that we'll see some more changed that will help the overall shape.
And one final question. Is there any amelioration of that situation if you're a residential property owner in the years going forward?
If MPAC were to make adjustments to these others, certainly in terms of tonight presenting the impacts for the residential base, there would be a benefit there to seeing others increased, and the opposite effect with the other properties. But we do believe that there were some decreases that were a little more than we think was justified.
That's not yet finalized.
That's right.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any other questions or comments regarding the presentation? Seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Jansen. We'll move on to reports. Can I get a mover for CBC 062017? Thank you, Councillor Butler. That report is on the floor. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could add a conflict on one other matter, my apologies for not doing this earlier, but just out of an abundance of caution, I'd like to declare a conflict on item 5.2, which is the BIA watering, as well as 6.1, which is the Bridgebrook Station BIA. I'm a member of that board, but I'm not the council-appointed member. I actually represent a business owner, so just out of caution, I'm going to declare that conflict. And further, Mr. Chair, if I could, I'd like to make a motion that each numbered item under the recommendations contained in report number CBC 07-2017 be considered separately.
That when we get to the report. Not there yet.
Are we just on the report now? Okay, sorry.
Report number one's on the floor right now. Thank you for bringing forward those other two conflicts. They have been noted. So report CBC 062017 is on the floor. Are there any questions or comments regarding that report? Councillor Lubberts?
Yeah, just some clarification. How are we going through this here? You got the report, and you're telling Councillor Passero that we're not going to go item to item. What report was on the floor? I only see one here. So what are we...
The second one, I believe that Councillor Passero was referring to is CBC 072017. We're not there yet. We're on CBC 062017.
The supplementary?
No, the analysis of the 2016 assessment for the 2017 taxation year.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Okay. So that recommendation reads that Council receives report number CBC 062017 regarding the analysis of the 2016 assessment for the 2017 taxation year for information purposes. That's the report that's on the floor. So if there's no questions or comments, all those in favor? None opposed? Can I have a mover for CBC 072017, moved by Councillor Zenko. Councillor Passero, did you have a motion on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I was saying, I'd like to move that each numbered item under the recommendations contained in report CBC 07-2017 be considered separately.
Thank you, Councillor Passero. That motion is on the floor. Questions, comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? None opposed. Okay, we'll begin with part 1.1. The council approves the 2017 supplemental base budget funding for capital reserves strategic investment increase of $500,000. Can I have a mover for that? So moved by Councillor Zenko. Part 1.1 is on the floor. Questions or comments? Okay, seeing none. Just for the clerk, would you prefer that we voted on each recommendation? Okay, so we're going to vote on each recommendation independently after we moved it. So 1.1, the council approves the 2017 supplemental base budget funding for the capital reserve strategic investment increase of $500,000. All those in favor? None opposed? That carries. Moving on to part 1.2, the council approves the 2017 supplemental base budget funding for tree planting of an increase. Can I have a mover? A move by Councilor McDermott. That item is on the floor for questions or comments. Councilor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering if, because of the urgency of the emerald ash borer or the ash trees, and the fact that now we've been told that there's, I guess it's called ash tree snap or ash borer snap or something like that, increasing our liability. I'm wondering, is it really necessary that we, while we're tearing these trees down, that we plant new trees right away? Or can we wait a year or 2 years or so to plant trees so that we could get a handle on the tree removal and maybe move this $40,000 and add it to the $400,000 that we're going to be using for removing the trees? Is that a possibility that we...
Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Mr. Chair. I don't think it really makes a difference to the rate of removal if the money was diverted to to item 2.1. We're talking order of magnitudes here. With respect to the risk, I did have a discussion with our adjuster earlier this year, and although we're not completely covered, the courts recognize the urgency of the situation, and as long as we have a program in place, we should be okay. From a legal point of view, that's not to say a judge would change his mind in awarding damages, but we should be okay.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I support moving forward with the tree planting. I've seen remarkable difference just in what we did in United Empire Loyalist Park and some other parks, and honestly, we're still struggling to catch up from the damage that was done during the 06 storm as far as replacing trees. So I recognize the need to get them removed as fast as possible, but we have great vast areas without any trees, and I think this does make a difference. So I'd like to see it stay as the 40.
Your Worship.
What if I could just ask what the total amount is that we'll then be putting into tree planting? We have 40,000 here. There was an increase on the base budget of 20. What was the base budget prior to that? If it's handy, if not, later is fine.
Through the chair, I don't have that here with me. My guess is that the base was previously 20 or 40 also. So I think the base at this point is approximately 40, but it could have been more than that. No, there's 20. So 20,000 initially plus 20,000 base funding in 2016 brought it to 40, plus this as a base item would double it to 80,000.
And I just wanted to comment that I agree with Councillor Passero. I've had a number of residents speak to me about the change in the community as these ash trees are being taken down, and it's in some areas it's quite significant, and residents are concerned about that, and it may be that we'll get to a point when we've been able to eliminate all of the dead ash trees, in which case we'll be able to then allocate some more money towards replanting, because this has changed the face of our community.
Thank you, Your Worship. Any other comments or questions from any other councillors? Seeing none, all those in favor? None opposed? That's carried. Part 1.3, that council approves the 2017 supplemental base budget funding for stormwater management facilities maintenance increase of $19,000. Can I get a mover? Moved by Councillor Butler. That item is on the floor for discussion. Councilor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just for some clarification for the people that are listening, what exactly are we going to maintain? I'm thinking that these are like the stormwater management ponds that we're increasing the funding for. Is that right?
Correct. Mr. Walsh, would you like to elaborate on that? Okay.
Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other comments or questions regarding this item? Seeing none, all those in favor? None opposed, that's carried. Moving to part 1.4, that council approves the 2017 supplementary base budget funding for transit route improvements plan increase of $77,522. Can I get a mover?
So moved.
Moved by his worship. That item is on the floor for comments. Councilor Passero?
Yeah, this is probably an appropriate one to make the comment I'd like to make, but I realize these numbers are coming forward. We're voting on them fairly quickly, but each one of these numbers represents a significant amount of council time and staff time to arrive at these significant number of staff reports, presentations to council. So I don't want that to go unheard that even though we're only spending a few moments on each of these, really a lot of these have been 1 to 2 years in the making. So I don't think that thought should be lost in anybody who's listening or anybody who's reporting on these. Tonight is just the culmination of a lot of work to get here. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Your worship?
Yes, and with respect to this particular item, I'd like to point out that this is the first year of an expansion of our public transit that's going to take place over the next 3 years. Next year, we'll be tripling the amount from this year, and eventually we'll be spending about four times what we had been spending on public transit. We'll be expanding the service, both hours of operation and frequency of buses. And we'll be looking at ways to better link with intermunicipal transit, both to Niagara Falls and Port Colborne and Welland, onto St. Catharines, what have you. So this is, as Councillor Passero has said, something that has been part of discussions by council, a lot of work by staff, and it's really just the beginning of what we think is a very important initiative for the growth and prosperity of our community.
Councillor McDermott.
Well, of course, I'm very happy to see that we're going to at least make the effort of making the 40 retransit inclusive to every community in this town. And I know that I'm thrilled about it, and seniors in Stevensville are certainly thrilled about it. And I'm sure that over the next 3 years, we could prepare ourselves for a true regional transit, and we'll be ahead of the curve because of the fact that we've made this effort tonight. So I congratulate staff on putting this forward. This year is a minimal amount, and I know that we'll be monitoring the routes to see if they're all good, and if not, we'll make it good somehow. But I'm very pleased to see this. I think we could truly call it 40 retransit once this gets into go. So appreciate that. I will be supporting it.
Thank you, Councillor Lubert or McDermott. Are there any other questions, comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? None opposed, that's carried. Moving to part 1.5, that council approves the 2017 supplementary base budget funding for employment services, wages, and benefit increase of $50,000. Can I get a mover? Councillor Butler? That item is on the floor for discussion or comments. Councillor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just again, just for some clarification for the people that are listening, employment services and wages and benefits increase, that's just the wages, benefits for all non-union or both union and non-union?
I think this is for a specific total position, Councillor, or Mr. Jansen.
Sure. Report that came forward on Monday, CS03, talked about expanding the current health and safety position from its current part-time status to a full-time status. So this is the incremental impact of all wages and benefits for that.
Just for that position?
That's right.
All right. And just moving on with that, that was a recommendation that was brought forward by a consultant, Western Management, is that correct?
Most recently, this was brought forward by Strategy Corp with the organizational review that was done at the beginning of 2016. It may have been referenced in the previous operational review, I think was what you're referring to in 2012. Yeah. But I would have to, I think it was also noted
most
there.
Most recently it was the
but in
latest.
The 2016 Strategy Corp it was, yes.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? That's carried, none opposed. Moving to part 1.6, that council approves the 2017 supplementary base budget funding for digital services, wages, and benefits, increase of 58,190. Can I get a mover? Councilor McDermott? That item is on the floor for discussion. Comments or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? None opposed, that's carried. Moving now to part 2.1, the council approves the 2017 supplementary one-time funding for the emerald ash borer tree removal increase of 400,000 funded by the general levy rate stabilization reserve.
So moved.
Moved by his worship. That item is on the floor for discussion. Comments or questions? Councilor McDermott?
Yeah, just one question. Maybe I can direct this to Mr. Walsh, through you, Chair. $400,000, how many trees does that remove?
Walsh?
Through my manager of Parks and Recreation Facilities in the audience, he says that's about 7,000 trees.
700?
700, sorry. He slipped the decimal.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments or questions? Councillor Zanko?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you to Mr. Walsh. I'm just wondering, and I know I've asked this in previous years, but is there any type of funding available through the province? I know there wasn't last year. I'm just wondering if there's any even talk of possible funding.
Through you, Mr. Chair. We do bring it up at appropriate conferences and seminars, but as of now, there is nothing available. As the councillor can well imagine, Ontario and Quebec are decimated by this vermin.
Okay, thank you.
Your worship.
Yeah, well, what there is sometimes money available for, and we took advantage of this through the CNR program at Loyalist Park, is money for tree planting. And so that's something that I know that our staff carefully monitors, and we have funds available to partner if the opportunity arises. It's not, no, it's significantly less than $400,000.
Councilor Passera?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to thank our bylaw enforcement team who are tasked with the unenviable job of having to notify residents when they have an ash tree on their property that has to come down. They have been very patient and very forgiving, noting that it's very difficult for some residents to secure somebody given how busy they are with ours and other municipal contracts. And I know quite a few people that have commented on their patience and their willingness to accommodate them, to let them know that, yes, we'll give you as much time as you need. We recognize there is an issue. So thank you to them for not coming down heavy-handed given the circumstances. Thank you.
Duly noted. Yeah, the chair recognizes Councillor Zinkel.
Thank you. I actually should have said that as well. Ward 3, I think, if I'm correct, has the most of tree removals required. And Byla has been very patient with constituents, and I sincerely thank staff as well for that.
Thank you, Councillor Zinkel. Are there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That carries. Moving to part 2.2, that council approves the 2017 supplementary one-time funding for roads refurbishing reserves allocation of OMPF funding of $480,400 and that capital project RSRF-17 be increased accordingly in the general capital budget.
So moved.
Thank you, Your Worship. That is on the floor for comment or question. Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Again, just for some clarification for the audience and the people that are listening on the audio stream, can we just give just a short update on what RF-17 project is, where it's located?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. RSRF-17 is our annual resurfacing contract. It's not a reconstruction project. It's our resurfacing, as the name implies. The current budget is $1.1 million. There is a report, and the number of the report fails me right now, but there is a report on the web that outlines the five-year resurfacing program. If I may add right now, given the increase of $480,000 proposed, we would be digging into the 2018 portion of it, but there have been a couple of roads pop up just recently with our weather issues going from freezing to thawing quite frequently that have exploded and will need to be added to that list.
So just for the audience that's listening, we've approved 1.1 million and change for the capital budget already, and we're going to add the 480, so it would be at like 1.5 or 1.6 million on road resurfacing for this year.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Your Worship.
Yes, if there aren't any other questions with respect to this, I wanted to comment specifically on this because it relates to infrastructure and the efforts of this council this term and starting in the last term to try to address the significant, what we call infrastructure gap. And this is one part of it. The bridges, the culverts, the water, sewer lines are all part of essential infrastructure. And I must say that at the region about 3 weeks ago, there was a discussion on whether the region should set aside 1% of its levy this year to apply to future infrastructure needs, exactly what we've been doing over the past several years at a rate of 2.5 to 3% per year. And part of that report at the region showed a graph, a chart actually, that indicated what the municipal tax increases were, municipality by municipality throughout Niagara over the past several years. And when you take that part of our budget, our levy, out of what our increases have been, we compare extremely favorably to other municipalities. We even compare favorably to many of them, even having allocated this money. But I can assure you, and the residents of the town of Fort Erie, that this community is far ahead of our neighbors with respect to taking steps to address the infrastructure gap. And this $1.5 million that we're going to be putting into road resurfacing this year, coupled with about $1 million, $900,000 last year, is a good indication. I know that we all are getting many, many calls with respect to the deteriorating roads, and there are legitimate inquiries being made by people who have to travel our roads. We travel our roads, so you all know which ones are in jeopardy. It's taken many, many years for those roads to deteriorate, and it's going to take a few years for us to rehabilitate them. But the residents should be assured that we are taking the steps necessary, not only for the present, but also for the future. And although this type of allocation, this money could have been used to subsidize the tax levy. That's what many, many municipalities do. We're using it, I think, in a far more prudent fashion and something that will specifically address a major part of our growth and prosperity, a strategic objective.
Thank you, Your Worship. Well said. Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? None opposed? That carries. Moving to Part 2.3, that Council approves the 2017 Supplementary One-Time Funding for Canada Day Fireworks Contribution of $10,000. Can I get a mover? Councillor Passero. That item is on the floor for discussion. Comments? Councillor Lubberts. And then Councillor Passero.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just looking at this and going back the last 6 years that I've been here on council, this seems to come up every year as a supplementary budget. And I don't see that we would ever not celebrate Canada Day with fireworks in the town of Fort Erie. And I'm just wondering, can we not move that into a base budget item?
Mr. Jansen?
The Chair to Councilor Lubberts. We had presented it last year as a base item, and it was converted to a one-time item. So we kept step with last year's recommendation that council had put forward and approved. But certainly this could be converted, if council so desired, to a base item.
Yeah, but that requires a motion to amend this or a motion to bring it, amend it?
I'd like to make that motion
to amend that to bring it into a base budget. I can't see that we would not ever.
Did you want to hear Councilor Passero's comments first before you make that amendment?
I agree with Councilor Lubberts. I just wanted to give a quick update as to where we stand with the fireworks. So I'm once again facilitating what's kind of a four-way partnership for the fireworks this year. It involves a grant application to the Department of Canadian Heritage, which I write, but it's put forward by the Fort Erie Kinsmen. It also involves the Friendship Festival. We utilize their insurance and their contract with the NPCA, and it involves the municipality as well. And the $10,000 from the municipality, we use that to leverage another 10 from the Department of Canadian Heritage, and we also go out and get a few sponsorships to try to bring us up to around $22,000 to $25,000 is where we'd like to be for the fireworks show that we've enjoyed in the past. We do have something that we're working on that I think is very, very cool for this year, given it's the 150th, and I'll be circulating a confidential memo to council about that. We'd like to keep that surprise in the bag until we get closer to. But I agree with Councillor Lubberts. I was going to make that suggestion myself, and there's a specific reason for that. Over and above, I hope that we'll always be doing fireworks. But secondly, there are very few companies that provide the type of show that we do here in town. And more importantly to that, there are even fewer companies that are approved by the Niagara Parks Commission to do shows on their property. And we really don't have anywhere else in town that we can do the fireworks show that we do, given the distance separation that we need. That's dictated to me by our fire chief and other agencies. So I'd like to keep it running. I'd like to form a part of the base budget. And if we can do that, I have talked to our supplier of fireworks, and he would be willing to give us a multi-year contract, which would allow me to take advantage of some much better pricing. The other difficulty I get year after year is I really have to twist their arm to include Fort Erie on their list, because technically, until we approve this tonight, and until we actually pass the bylaw a few weeks from now, I don't have a deposit to give them, and I don't actually get the money from Department of Canadian Heritage until May or June, if you can believe it, when fireworks are on July 1st, but that's just the way the federal government works. So I would ask Councilor Lubberts to put that forward. I would support it. I'd ask Council to support it as well, and we can keep it going.
Thank you, Councilor Passero. The Chair recognizes your worship.
Thank you, and I'll support this. I did want to say, Councilor Passero, that I was at an event in Niagara-on-the-Lake on, let's say, last Friday, and there were some fireworks there. And the chair of the Niagara Parks Commission, who's also the executive director, I think, of the Chamber of Commerce, mentioned that they were able to tap into funding from the regional tourism organization, RTO. And that might be an avenue that you might also want to pursue, because she indicated to me that it's quite a very good arrangement, as long as there's money that can be partnered. So if you wanted to follow that up, that might be of some assistance to you. And if you need further information, I can probably get that for you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Councilor Lubberts, would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, I'd like to make the amendment that we remove this from a supplementary budget and include it in a base budget.
That amendment is on the floor for a question or comment. Go ahead, Councillor Passero.
I'm sorry, just one note of clarification for anybody that really reads the paperwork. But in staff supplementary budget request sheets, it says to provide the funding necessary to have a fireworks display as part of the Canada Day celebrations. That's the name of the organization that used to do the fireworks. So just so everybody is clear, the money is not going to that organization. In this sense, it really just means Canada Day celebration. So the money is actually a grant to the various groups that were putting together to do the fireworks. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions or comments, I'll call to question the amendment. All those in favor? None opposed? That carries. We will go ahead and vote on Part 2.3 as amended. I have a mover for that?
It's already been moved.
It's already been moved. Okay, it's on the floor. So any comments or questions?
Thank you. Wasn't it already moved, Madam Clerk?
Seeing no further comments or questions, all those in favor? None opposed? That carries. Moving to Part 2.4, the Council approves the 2017 supplementary one-time funding for Dominion Repertory Theater Grant of $7,500. Can I get a mover? Moved by His Worship. That is on the floor for question or comment. Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be supporting this tonight. I think given the amount of dollars that we expended for the 150 sesquicentennial, I think we're getting off relatively cheap given the two funding applications we're looking at tonight between this one and the parade that the Legion is doing and the hard work of the Ridgeway BIA. And I think this is a much better way to do it. Let's give out some seed money into the community, let them create the events. It's less of a burden on our staff and allows them to really roll things forward. So I'll be supporting this tonight, and in advance I'll say that I will support the Legion's request as well, because I think it's of a similar nature. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That carries. Moving to Part 2.5, the Council approves the 2017 supplementary one-time funding for Economic Development and Tourism Corporation grant for reserve replenishment of $100,000. Moved by Councillor McDermott. That is on the floor for comments or questions. Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I just, after the presentation that we had from the EDTC the other week, I went back and looked at the budget request that they brought forward in their booklet. And first of all, I need some clarification as to the numbers that we're looking at in their binder. I don't know if everybody brought their binder with them, but on page 51 of this year's request, at the top it says 2016 council approved budget $385,782 for special projects. But then when I go to last year's budget, the $385,782 was total wages and benefits for the EDTC. And I'm just wondering if we could get some clarification on, is this a typo, or, and maybe if staff could show us where we actually approved $385,782 for special projects in last year's budget.
Mr. Jansen.
Through you, Chair, to Councillor Luberts. I don't have the presentation in front of me here, but I am familiar with that page. I believe that was a carryover or a copy and paste kind of typo from this year's budget, but the $385,782 really is an amount. It doesn't relate to that whole column from what I can gather, but that was the amount of the wages and benefits, like you said, from last year's budget.
So can we get some clarification from the EDTC, maybe?
Sure. His Worship and Councillor McDermott, if you wish to comment, please do.
absolutely correct. That item, that number at the top of page 51 doesn't correlate to the special projects which are delineated below. There's no suggestion that those special projects were all approved as part of the 2016 budget, because some of them came up during the course of the year, including the industrial land strategy and the economic preparedness study. That's a listing of what special projects were undertaking, what the total cost of those were, and what the impact was on their reserves.
Councilor Liberts?
Yes, thank you very much. So are we going to get clarification from Edie, from the board, that this is just a typo and that it should have been just their actual reserves? Because
I think his worship just provided that.
Correct.
Okay. And then looking at these special projects, I won't go into each individual one, but you can see in there that there's some round tables, a tourism round table, a labor force round table, and so on. And then in the 2016 budget request, which we approved, under capacity building, there was annual roundtables, industrial developers, financial. So we approved $14,750 for these roundtables, and now they're calling them special projects. And I'm just wondering if they're looking to be paid twice for these, or if these special projects, when it comes to the roundtables, need to be taken off of their request.
Your worship.
Yeah, so we did receive as well the unaudited actuals for the EDTC for 2016, and that broke down their expenditures just as they had presented their budget last year. And you're quite correct, a couple of these roundtables that show under capacity building, and there was one other, which show up as paid out of reserves, had been listed on the budget as part of their operating expenses. When they provided the actuals, they showed no expenditure for these specific items because they were paid out of reserves. So there's not a double accounting for them. Why they would have been paid out of reserves as opposed to operating, not specifically sure, but that was an issue that I was curious about as well. And the actuals do show that they weren't paid out of operating, they were paid out of reserve.
So how do we rectify this problem? Obviously, they're going to have to change. I mean, they requested the money last year, and I don't know how they pay their bills or how they pay their money out, but if it's a budgeted item, then it gets paid through your budget. I don't know how the board or the EDTC could go about paying out of reserves. I mean, our staff wouldn't do that. And I think they would be held accountable if they did. So we need some clarification exactly how they're spending the money, where they're using their reserves, because they're coming forward here asking us to replenish their reserves because they're showing us that they spent all this money in reserve out of their reserves, and they shouldn't have been spending it out of their reserves.
Your worship.
So two things. Those are the types of questions that should have been put to the representative of the EDTC representatives when they were here. They're not here tonight, and it would have been helpful if we'd have known that there were going to be questions for them to be here. If one looks at page 51 and looks at these special projects, the amount that we're referring to in terms of roundtables and a seminar is less than $15,000 out of a total of $224,000. The major special projects were the economic preparedness study strategy of $115,000 and the industrial land development strategy of $60,000. Those two items really are the bulk of the special projects. I quite agree with you that when a budget is presented and their operating expenditures, they should be expended out of operating. I presume, looking at the actuals that were provided to us, that there was some shifting within these broader categories, so that when it came time for monies to be paid, they had to dip into the reserves for $15,000. I'm quite sensitive to the need for operating dollars to be spent out of the operating budget and reserve projects to be spent out of reserve funding. I have a motion that I propose to bring with respect to this once I get to it, based on conversations that I've had with the general manager of the EDTC.
Okay, thank you very much. And Mayor Redekop, I appreciate the fact that, you know, these questions maybe should have been brought forward when the EDTC was here and making their presentation. But again, if you look at their budget, and if you look at the budget that is being brought forward to us from our staff shows previous years and they show future years. And in the request that we received the other day from the EDTC, in their binder, they show the 2017 request. They don't, and then they go on to a 2018 predict or proposed, and a 2019 proposed. They don't go back. So you have to go back after the meeting and go back and look at the 2016 report, which we didn't have. So the meeting was already over, and that's why I'm asking these questions, is when I look back at the 2016 report, that's where I noticed that these things were already budgeted for. And
well, if I might, we in fact did have the information. I made sure that councilors received a copy of the EDTC financial report, which showed their actuals for 2016 alongside their approved budget for 2016, commitments to come forward, the balance, and the projected variances. So we had that information. And on the second page of that document, we had information relative to their expenditures with respect to their special projects, money that was paid out of reserves, and what their commitments are with respect to that. And also a reference to policy with respect to two reserve funds, one the emergency marketing fund and the other the operating cash flow fund. That information was available.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. This is the actuals that you're talking about this year?
Yep.
And if you look at the 2016 report that I have here from 2016 in their request, under capacity building, it's $14,750. And then here, under capacity building, it totals $10,000, I believe. And it doesn't say anything in here on your actuals about the roundtables. So even so, going back to the 2016, the roundtables were included, and then they're asking for them as a special project.
Well, I think if you look under a couple of headings up, under grow and retain job opportunities, there's a reference to business capacity building. I presume that's the roundtables, budgeted for $12,000, $2,000 was spent. So that left a balance of $9,500. Why that money wasn't utilized instead of reserve,
a couple
I'm not
of
sure.
Up, where is that?
So it would be, if you were at capacity building as a heading.
Yeah.
You move two up, you're under grow and retain job opportunities.
Yes,
first
I appreciate
item is business
that.
Capacity building.
I appreciate building. That, Mayor Redekop, but I can only compare the bullets and the titles. Capacity building, then I look at capacity building. I don't know that, you know, now I got to go to take a course on how to read this. I have to go up to and say, oh, well, capacity building to me was capacity building. But, I mean, we don't have to belabor this all night long. It's just that there's some discrepancies here in the numbers that were being presented to us. And some of the numbers, I don't agree that when it comes to bringing back your or asking for $100,000 for the town to replenish their reserves, I don't believe that the town should be replenishing the reserves if the money should have been spent on their general budget. So they need to go back to their general budget. If they didn't spend it, they must have put it in reserves and take it back out of the reserves and pay for it accordingly. And it needs to come off of their request tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Lubertz. Councillor Passero?
I think I still have the floor.
No. Well, you've exceeded the five-minute time limit. I'd like to move to a different councillor, and I'll come back to you if you wish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Jansen has put up one of the slides for me on the table, and I'm not suggesting that this is an answer as to why they didn't take the money from operating or why they did take it from reserve, but under capacity building and annual roundtables, it shows the three that they have always done, which is industrial, developers, and financial. This year, they added labor force and tourism. They have never done those in the past, so that may be a reason why they have included it as a special project, and that's why it's not being shown under 2016 budget, because it wasn't a budgeted item. How they paid for it, where they paid for it, I can't answer that, but that's a reason as to why you're seeing it in two places, because those ones were not actually budgeted under 2016 capacity building. They were decided at some point in the year, and they show up under special projects. So I just add that for clarification. It doesn't answer the question as to where it was paid from, but that's why it's reported in the way it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Chair recognizes Councillor McDermott.
Thank you, Chair. It wouldn't be budget night if we weren't casting aspersions on the EDTC, that's for sure. Let me just say this. I spent two terms so far with the EDTC, and I don't see all of the things that Councillor Lubertz talks about from time to time. I do know this, though, that they have had their very best year this year at doing what they do. These roundtables are very important to council. They tell us whether we're on track or whether we're not. And from every roundtable that we've had, council's report card is like an A+. The developers roundtable, they have never seen the momentum that we're having today. The tourism roundtable showed us that the direction that we're taking in the budget with regards to wayfinding signage and the transit in our community is exactly what they're looking for. This is where we get our ideas from these roundtables. I had my doubts when I came on the EDTC. I wanted to see it firsthand. And I would like to say that Mr. T-Bear has pretty much been in lockstep with council. He's not the same man he was 4 years ago, and I'm sure he wasn't the same man as he was 8 years ago. But I know this. For the past 2 years, they've done their due diligence, they're working for the community, and they're having many, many successes, and most of those successes have come to fruition this year. They are also working on many of the big projects that we have, and if we get them, they'll be probably responsible for doing that. So, you know, I have no trouble with this budget. I have no trouble with what the mayor is about to present later on down the line. I applaud him for doing his due diligence as well. Thank you.
Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Chair. Just a comment. I agree with Councillor McDermott, and I think we have to remember that as part of our business strategy group under Growth and Prosperity, we had asked the EDTC to give us some information with respect to tourism and the municipality. And part of that process was to host a tourism roundtable. And further to that, there were some questions with respect to employability within the marketplace. And that prompted the next roundtable through the EDTC hosting a labor roundtable, which I believe was very fruitful and deserves probably a couple of more steps to go further in 2017 as well. And finally, we did, as part of planning and committee, when the chair and I sat on that for the first 2 years, in a very first year, we had actually had discussions within the municipality itself and the EDTC, and we encouraged and we asked for that industrial land development strategy, which this council approved to go forward with.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. The chair recognizes Councillor, his worship, Mr. Mayor Redekop, who hasn't spoken yet.
So we're on 2.5, which relates to the request for reserve replenishment by the EDTC. This somewhat is going to over, my comments will overflow into 2.6, but I've had a number of conversations with Mr. Tiber with respect to this, and I've spoken to members of council various times with respect to the request. I'm always skeptical about reserve funds, and you'll recall that last year when the library came forward and had, we found out that they had reserves, we required them to use some of the reserve to fund part of their operating increase. They're doing that again this year because of the surplus that they had from last year. And one of our concerns was that there should be identified projects. And they've provided that with us, and I would hope that when we get to the library budget, we'll be good with that. I'm certainly supportive of their budget. In terms of the EDTC, they've got a couple of policies. One that relates to, as I said before, an emergency marketing fund, which is $150,000, and an operating cash flow fund of $65,000, a total of $215,000. Those are utilized as rapid response or unexpected, unanticipated expenditures arising out of opportunities that come up out of nowhere. That's been part of what the EDTC has done, and there are a number of things over the years that it's been able to do with reserve funds without having to first come to council to request funding, which is a concern that the EDTC has. So I'm supportive of having those identified reserve funds. The current balance of their reserve is at $178,000. They would need $37,000 to bring those funds up to where their policies say they should be. The EDTC recently had significant water damage at their offices and the offices of the chamber, which were subleased from the EDTC. I'm advised by Mr. Tiber that there are going to be some expenses that will not be covered by insurance that they are going to have to bear. That amount hasn't been completely identified, but I don't think it's unreasonable for an allocation of 13 plus the 37 that I previously referenced for a total of $50,000 to be put into or to be utilized to replenish the EDTC's reserves. That accomplishes two things. Number one, it puts them in compliance with their own policies. And number two, it allows them to expend some money on the refurbishment of their offices for expenses not covered by insurance. It permits them the flexibility that we expect them to have as they move forward. I'm all for accountability, and I certainly do believe that there are levels of accountability that could be striven for. But if we just look at four major things that occurred this year, the preparedness study, which we will be receiving next month, the industrial land strategy, which we will be receiving next month, the labor workforce strategy that Councillor Butler referred to, and the assistance that we got from the EDTC in terms of the strategy for the Bay Beach funding application. That was a very good partnership between our staff, who put in a lot of time and energy with respect to the essential components of that. But the financial strategy was something that it in itself, getting us $850,000, that to me is very important. And it will have a big impact on our community. So I'm all of that to say, Mr. Chair, that I'm about to move that we make the that we reduce the amount of $100,000 to $50,000, and I'm assured by Mr. Tiber that that is acceptable, and that is going to be tied in with the next item, which when we get there, I'm going to be suggesting that we pay for that Y40 magazine in two installments over 2 years, $25,000 this year, $25,000 next, and I'll explain that when I get there. Again, and that's agreeable to Mr. Tiber.
Okay, so you're making an amendment right now,
to
Your Worship,
to 50,000.
Okay, that amendment's on the floor. Questions or comments? Councilor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much. I don't see that there's any need to bring forward any replenishment. If you look at the reserves that the EDTC had, and then if you look in the past as to what they've been doing with their reserves, they had 1 year and they had a little glitch in their operating according to their what's happening with their building and such. And over the last 6 years that I've been here, we've been questioning on a regular basis the reserves and the reason to have such a large amount of reserves. And over the last 6 years, I don't see anywhere, I didn't see anywhere where they had used their reserves or depleted their reserves. So it's not something that happens on a regular basis with them. If you look at their 2014 reserves, they had 397,000, which they reported. 2015, they had 461,000. So their reserves were moving up on their own by themselves because of surpluses or other revenues that they received and they put into the reserves. So we have to do the same thing here in the town of Fort Erie. We have to budget, and then we work on our budgets, and if we see savings, then we put them in our reserves. I don't see that the EDTC would be any different. I keep being told that they're a separate corporation. They operate on their own. All we do is give them grant money to operate, and so they're on their own to get their reserves as well. And I don't see that we need to replenish their reserves. You talk about the industrial land strategies. Well, the industrial land strategy was done by the town of Fort Erie. And at the last meeting that we were here, I was told that it was decided that that's something that the EDTC should take over and that they should do. Well, if that's the case, then the EDTC should have paid the town of Fort Erie for doing an industrial land strategy. But no, the EDTC went out and did their own. They peer-reviewed ours, and in their budget, they're even showing that they're charging us $20,000 to do that peer review. In their budget, they're asking for $60,000, but in the actuals that Mayor Redicott brought to us, the industrial land strategy showed that it was $45,000. So, I mean, I keep seeing different numbers floating around here and there and coming back and forth, and they want us to replenish their reserves. I don't see any reason why we need to replenish their reserves. Their reserves are healthy enough. They, from my numbers here, if they had $100,000 in reserves for special projects, and then another $50,000 for operating, that gives them $158,000 compared to what they reported for last year of $372,000, and they spent $224,000. That leaves them $148,457 in reserves. That's more than enough to for them to operate for emergencies and for their operating surpluses. So I won't be supporting any replenishment of reserves for the EDTC. Thank you.
Yes, Your Worship, and then I'll come to Councilor Butler.
Sorry, I just wanted to say that the industrial land strategy wasn't completed by the town. It was started by the town. It wasn't a decision made by council. It was, I believe, an expenditure authorized and proceeded on by the CAO. Is that correct?
Through you, Chair, the Worship. I was asked this question, I believe it was last week, the week before. I was incorrect. It was a council direction.
Okay. So for whatever reason, that wasn't what I was told when I became the mayor. But it seemed to me that the industrial land strategy is something that the EDTC should have done, and they eventually did take it over and they completed it. So, or and we'll be receiving the report, and then we can decide what to do with it when we get it. But it's not, the town hadn't completed an industrial land strategy. There had been an initial report, which you're right, was peer-reviewed by the EDTC's consultant.
Thank you, Your Worship. The Chair recognizes Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Chair. I just have just a tiny bit more to add to that. His Worship actually said most of it. But just to point out that a peer review is just that. It's not something that the EDTC does on their own. They hire out an independent consultant that has expertise in the field to take a look at the information that was provided in the original draft report, and it was found to be flawed as there were no boots on the ground to, and no offense to any party in particular, but that was the determination that was made, and that is why the EDTC then took over and started this industrial land review on its own. To suggest that they should be paying us is a bit far-fetched and not at all professional. Thank you.
Worship, are there any other councillors that wish to speak before I go back to Councillor Lubberts? Councillor Lubberts, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Can I just get some clarification as to why it's $45,000 in the actuals and they're asking for $60,000?
Could Mr. Jansen or one of the EDCC council representatives answer that question? Sorry, Councillor Lubberts, no one here is
no one
has
can
an
answer,
answer
that?
For that. Seeing no other questions or comments, we will vote on the motion as amended. Or sorry, we'll vote on a motion to amend first, and then we'll vote on it as amended. All those in favor? Opposed? One opposed? That motion carries. Now, the motion as amended is on the floor. Councillor, or I'm sorry, Your Worship?
Yes, so just to follow this up, I did have some discussion with Mr. Jansen, put a number of items on the agenda this evening, and this was one of them. And Mr. Jansen had suggested an alternative way to fund this reserve as opposed to making it part of the levy. Could comment on that and indicate what your preference would be.
Through the Chair, Your Worship, as a one-time item, it is an option to fund it as well from the general levy rate stabilization reserve. We hadn't proposed that because it was going to another reserve, not to a purpose that would meet the purpose of our own reserves. So, but that is an option, should you wish to fund that as well from our existing reserves.
If I might, Mr. Chair, if these funds are going to replenish two specific funds that are identified in EDTC policy, one being the emergency marketing fund and the other being the operating cash flow reserve, and whatever the additional funds are, about $13,000 goes towards the costs of replacing damaged items not covered by the insurance. Does that fit our policy with respect to the general levy rate stabilization fund?
Mr. Jansen.
I suppose indirectly it would. It's funding another reserve, so it could be viewed as a transfer between reserves, but to the extent they have plans to use those reserves, that is an option.
All right. And what would the impact of essentially reducing the 100 to 50 and having the 50 taken out of the reserve fund that you've identified, what impact would that have on our total levy as we're working our way through this?
Yes, I've calculated for you here on the screen. So removing it to 50 and funding it from our existing reserves would bring the town levy in column two down to 2.18%, of which the total town median portion would be 5.95 and the total tax bill of 2.81.
The overall tax bill would be 2.81%. taking into account the region, the town, and education as we know it. So I'd like to move that we fund that $50,000 by way of a transfer from our general levy rate stabilization fund. And my amendment.
Amending the amended motion?
I'm moving to amend the amended motion.
Are there questions or comments on that amendment? Seeing none, we'll vote on the amendment that it be funded from the General Rate Stabilization Fund. All those in favor? Opposed? One opposed. That carries. Now we'll vote on the motion. The amended motion, as amended, is on the floor. Oh, please don't. Questions or comments? Councilor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much. Mr. Jansen, can you, I don't know if you have it in front of you or maybe one of the board members would have it. What will that give the EDTC total for their surplus?
Reserves?
Do you have that number?
I do not.
For their reserves?
Yeah.
According to the information that we have, as I explained, it would set their reserves at $215,000. $150,000 for the Emergency Marketing Reserve Fund, $65,000 for the Operating Cash Flow Reserve Fund. You'll remind us of this next year, I'm sure.
I will.
Any other questions, Councilor Luberts? Okay. We'll vote on the motion as amended. All those in favor? Opposed? One, that's carried. Moving on now to part 2.6, the council approves the 2017 supplemental one-time funding for EDTC grant for Y-Fort Area Magazine of $50,000. Can I have a mover? Councilor McDermott. That motion is on the floor. Chair recognizes his worship.
Thank you. And again, just to follow up on the comments from the last item, I discussed this with Mr. T-Bear, and taking into account some comments that had been raised during the corporate services committee meeting earlier this week. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to be happening in Fort Erie over the next several months, and those things should be taken into account in any new magazine that we utilize for promotional purposes in attempting to encourage more investment in our community. So that the initial thought was the magazine should probably come out in 2018 as opposed to 2017, which Mr. T-Bear is in agreement with. The reality is that in order for it to come out early in 2018, there is work that needs to be done now. Design with respect to the magazine, work on content, that type of thing. The printing and distribution, that can be done in the new year. So we had talked about, and I'm about to move, that we fund the request by the EDTC for a grant for the Y-Fort Erie magazine in two installments of $25,000. $25,000 in 2017, $25,000 in 2018. That would be from the general levy, I believe, Mr. Jansen. No, general levy as opposed to the reserve fund.
Okay, that amendment is on the floor. Comments or questions? Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I support this fully. We did have a good discussion at Corporate Services about this, and specifically given that this magazine, it is top-notch, and it does carry a five-year shelf life, I think to give us 12 months of breathing room to see where various projects fall would be a wise decision, so I'll support this. Thank you.
Any other councilors, comments or questions? Councilor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much. If you're going to move forward with this year magazine, we need to start to get some kind of feedback or some kind of data on how these things are all working out for us. From what I understand, and I have a constituent in my area that drives on a regular basis back and forth to Toronto, and he made it a point when this magazine was out there to stop at various tourism destinations and information stops between here and Toronto and outside of Toronto. And he didn't find any of these magazines around. And when I look at the request for the $50,000, it shows that most of the people that used it were local people. And I would think that, you know, this here would be something that would be distributed throughout the province. And at the same time, we need to see that it's working for us. I haven't seen any data. I hear a whole bunch of things as to why we need to put this magazine out there, but what kind of results are we getting from it? And that's a basic thing that anybody does when they're putting promotional material out there. What works, what doesn't work? I think that's also a part of our strategic plan to start collecting this data and seeing what works and what doesn't work. So if we're going to be moving forward with something like this, I think that we need to start seeing some kind of feedback as to, are we getting our money's worth, or should we be spending this kind of money in another direction other than what we're doing with this year magazine?
Thank you, Councillor Lubertz. The Chair recognizes Councillor Passero, then Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hear what Councillor Lubertz is saying, and based on his constituents' advice, it shows to me that they were all taken. So I'm hoping Councillor Lubertz would put forward a motion to increase the funding so we can purchase more magazines. I'd hate to not have them available after people have already gotten a copy.
They were never there.
Thank you. Just to further note what Councillor Lubertz had mentioned, in our handbook it does say that the handbooks are in Toronto hotels, attractions, over 60 Southwestern Ontario tourism operators carry them, in addition to Rochester, New York, Erie, PA, and Buffalo, Niagara locations. And I just wondered if perhaps maybe your constituent wasn't actually visiting the hotels or the tourist attractions, but rather maybe some other
areas
on his drive.
Well, maybe not, Councillor Zanko, but I'm sure that when this magazine comes out next time, we will stop by every
one at a time,
location.
Please, Councillor Zanko.
And my other point was, one of the questions that was asked to the EDTC staff was what type of metrics and analytics are they able to provide based on response? And they do track the response. From my understanding, they have specific telephone numbers in addition to other ways of tracking the analytics to show which audience had received the handbooks.
Thank you, Councillor Zanko. Your Worship.
Yeah, I believe that the two of you are speaking about different products. One, I believe, is a visitor's guide, which is distributed. I think there's 80,000 copies that are distributed in a wide variety of hospitality locations. The other is a magazine that specifically speaks to why invest in Fort Erie, provides that background. So we have been given some information relative to that, but there's certainly no reason why we couldn't request some information about how it's distributed, where it's distributed, what some of the feedback has been. And in fact, by specifically designating this amount of money for the specific item, we're creating accountability, because this money has to be spent on the creation of the Why Fort Erie magazine. So I'm content with this. I agree that it would be helpful if we had some more information relative to this, but it's a economic development tool that I believe is reasonable for the town of Fort Erie to expect the Economic Development Corporation to deliver.
Thank you, Your Worship. Councillor McDermott.
Well, I do agree with His Worship about the Why Fort Erie magazine. I think it's very important to let people know why they should come and invest here. For the life of me, I don't know why we bring up our constituents. I could make up a whole pile of stuff that my constituents say, but, you know, I don't tend to do that. You know, the magazine gets out. the suggestion that the EDTC would waste taxpayers' money on something that that is ridiculous? No, they wouldn't do that. So I know the magazine goes up. And there's not a product that doesn't go out of the EDTC that's not first rate. And they're first rate, and people pick them up. Like Chris could tell you that in all of his travels to southwestern Ontario, he's seen these things himself. And he leaves them as well. So we know it gets out. I will, though, at the next board meeting, check on how we measure that. To suggest that we would throw $50,000 away in a product that's absolutely no good to us is a little bit ludicrous. So I will be supporting this.
Thank you, Councillor McDermott. I just have one comment in regards to something Councillor McDermott did say. I do travel for work throughout southwestern Ontario and downtown Toronto. And I was given a box of approximately 50, and I would leave it in various locations as I traveled through. And most recently, out in the London area where I was asked when I would be bringing more of the magazines, because there were several that were picked up and taken. So I know firsthand this marketing tool does work, and it is of interest to people. So, Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Listening to all the comments, I will be looking forward to seeing the data come forward, and I'm expecting that this magazine is just going to open the town of Fort Erie wide open over the next 3 years or 4 years, and I look forward to seeing all the reports and all the good things that it's going to do for us. Thank you.
Duly noted. I'm sure one of the representatives on council that sits on the EDTC board will relay your request to them. So I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of the mayor's amendment? Opposed? One opposed. That carries. Moving on to part 2.7. Oh, I'm sorry. We have to vote on that motion as amended. So the motion as amended is on the floor. Comments or questions? Nope, seeing none. I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? One opposed. That carries. Now we'll move on to part 2.7, that council approves the 2017 supplementary one-time funding for Crystal Ridge Community Center grant of $25,000. Can I get a mover? Councillor Butler moved. That is on the floor for discussion, comments, or questions. Councillor McDermott?
Well, I'll be supporting this based on Mr. Firetag's presentation to council. I don't believe this sets a precedent of any sort. I think that when volunteers help our municipality by taking on these chores, then they should be given funds to operate. And I know they've done their due diligence over the years, and they do a great job, and I support them.
Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Chair Nutt. I agree with Councillor McDermott. I was not here last week when Mr. Firetag did do his presentation, but Mr. Brian Hodge did come and see me this afternoon at my office and did relay the details of that presentation, and I will be supporting this as well.
Chair recognizes Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mentioned it during Mr. Firetag's presentation, and I'll say it again tonight. This one scares the heck out of me. Not for anything that it does as far as precedent setting, but I think things are coming home to roost as far as the great things we have been in receipt of through communities' efforts and bingo in years past, and those funds are no longer there to keep them up in the same way, either maintain or start to replace these assets. So unfortunately, I think this is something we're going to see time and time again, and I think we need to be prepared for this from a budgeting perspective, and I look forward to the results of negotiations between the town and Crystal Ridge to see what type of an agreement we can reach, because I do think that will help to set the template going forward. We have a lot of great facilities in this community that were built at a time when things were much more buoyant due to those funds, and things are now starting to reach the end of their life cycles, is starting to need a lot of replacements. So this is not going to be the last time we see a request like this. I'm supporting this tonight and cautiously awaiting what happens next for other facilities. Thank you.
Are there any other comments or questions? I'd just like to point out that the mayor did declare a conflict on this, so he will not be voting. So I'm going to call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. That carries. Moving now to part 2.8, the council approves the 2017 supplementary one-time funding for the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 230 grant of $3,000. Sorry, you...
Aren't we on Winter Sidewalk? Yeah. Aren't we on 3.1?
No, we're on
2.8. 2.8.
No, we're on 2.8. It was added. Yeah, it's on the
yeah,
addendum.
No, I didn't do. No, I didn't have a conflict on that.
Okay.
2.7.
Yes, your movement still counts, Your Worship. Item 2.8 is on the floor for comments or question. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I support this fully as one of the organizers of the Santa Claus Parade. They're not cheap things to put on, and it's unbelievable how much it costs as far as retaining bands, transportation, even for things like school groups. So this will be money put to good use for a good cause for a great celebration. Thank you.
Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Chair. I also agree with Councillor Passero. The Legion does a lot of work in the community, and this is a big celebration for them to put this parade on during the Canada 150. I think the least that we can do is contribute to it.
Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll call those to question. I'll call that to question. All those in favor? None opposed. That carries. Moving to part 3.1, that council approves the 2017 supplementary base budget new funding for winter sidewalk plowing sanding of $40,000. Councillor McDermott moved it. That is on the floor for comment or question. Councillor Passero.
Another microphone gone. Thank you, Mr. Chair. When would, in the current budget year, when would these dollars take effect? Is this commencing November 1st, 2017, as stated in the information sheet?
Through you, Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay. Having said that, I know that, and I'm going to knock on the desk, hopefully we start to experience, or we keep experiencing, the lack of snow that we have gotten to date. But I do continue to get phone calls from people who have to access community mailboxes. And I'm hoping that, given what I believe to be so far, hopefully some extra room in our snow clearing budget so far this year, that hopefully we could add some of those community mailbox routes as part of the walking web and start to plow those now, instead of waiting until November of 2017. Given that most of the community is transitioning to them, it is extremely difficult for some seniors to get there, and relying on Canada Post to follow up on our phone calls to them, by the time they get back to us, the snow has long since melted and the problem hasn't taken care of, it's taken care of itself, but it's taken way too long. So I just offer that for comment to infrastructure staff. I know that this 40 kicks in November 1st, but between now and then, if we could maybe sit down and take a look at where our community mailboxes are, plural, and start to target them. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The councillor's comments are noted. We'll take that into account. As we all know right now, we're having an exceptionally mild winter. One of the issues we face with the request right now is the location of all the community mailboxes. We have solicited Canada Post in that regard. And for council's information, Canada Post is responsible for the area immediately adjacent to the community mailboxes, clearing and salting or sanding as whichever is appropriate. But certainly the sidewalks leading to and from the community mailboxes are the responsibility of the town.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Is there any other? Go ahead, Councillor Passero.
Just one thing further. I've been advised by the gentleman at the back that this request, actually the first time we saw this at Corporate Services, was $30,000, and I'm being told that we have added $10,000 to hopefully get us through this year targeting those community mailboxes. So if that's the intent, I appreciate that, and hopefully that will be enough to get us through. But I'm hoping for no snow between now and November 1st. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? None opposed. That motion carries.
You only get to vote once, Councilor Zanko.
Moving on to part 3.2, the council approves the 2017 supplementary base budget new funding for parks and arena operations supervisor wages and benefits of $23,460. Councilor McDermott moved that. That's on the floor for comment or question. Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? None opposed, that carries. Moving on to part 4.1, the council approves the 2017 supplementary one-time new funding for coal docks assessments of $100,000 funded by the General Levy Rate Stabilization Fund.
So moved.
His Worship's moved that. That's on the floor for comment or question. Councilor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just for some clarification for the people that are listening, can we just get a short little introduction as to what this is all going to entail? As far as the coal docks, where it is, what we're doing exactly.
Certainly, Your Worship.
Yeah, I'd be pleased to give some background with respect to this. The coal docks at the bottom of Jarvis Street, part of the Bridgeburg BIA, is currently owned by the Peace Bridge Authority, which acquired it probably a dozen or more years ago. And there's an option in favor of the Niagara Parks Commission to acquire it for a dollar in exchange. That was in exchange for some land that they provided to the Peace Bridge Authority in order for it to do some of its expansion probably 6 or 7, 8 years ago. The Niagara Parks Commission has been reluctant to do anything with the property because of some environmental issues. The town of Fort Erie has done we had contemplated perhaps taking assignment of the option from the Parks Commission, so we did a phase one and phase two environmental impact study and found out that there indeed are some environmental issues. They've been quantified at, I think, to clean up right now at around $1.2 million. Mr. Walsh can correct me if I'm too far wrong. So we've had some recent meetings with the Peace Bridge Authority and the Parks Commission representatives to talk about how we can do something with that property and perhaps something a little further beyond that property with a view to creating a park which could be utilized by the BIA and the municipality. It would continue to be owned by the Parks Commission, but we could partner with them, perhaps the Peace Bridge Authority, perhaps the province, or maybe some other programs, with a view to turning what right now is basically a grassed area with a parking lot into some type of park that could then be utilized for events in the future, and perhaps drive private investment. I've raised this also with the Niagara region because, as you know, they have a waterfront enhancement program, so this could very well be one of the projects that we might advance in the future. This $100,000 would go towards better identifying exactly what the current status of the environmental issues is, something that we could then take up with the provincial ministries to ascertain how much it actually would cost the owner of the property, the Parks Commission, or the Peace Bridge Authority, or the town, to put that property into a condition where it could be turned into a park with a gazebo, perhaps some other surface adornments. I don't believe that we would be constructing buildings, but we would be creating something that could be utilized for events and activities down there. So that's what this $100,000 is about. We will be looking for opportunities to continue to partner with the agencies and the organizations that I've mentioned. But this is really, in my view, one of the fundamental linchpins to helping to revitalize that part of our community.
That was short enough.
Oh, did you say short?
Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to add that the coal docks is also one of the four mini master plan sites that the planning partnership is doing as part of our waterfront strategy. So we're already expending dollars in moving towards that direction. So hopefully these two can converge at the same time. It's something that's been worked on for many years, and I'm glad that the conversations are getting to the point where we're starting to set some dollars aside. Thank you.
Were there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That carries. Moving to Part 4.2, the Council approves the 2017 supplementary one-time new funding for continuing education development of $24,700, funded by the General Levy Rate Stabilization Fund. I have a mover. Councillor Zenko, move that. That's on the floor for comments or question. Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That carries. Part 4.3, that Council approves the 2017 supplementary one-time new funding for Snowbirds event contribution of $7,500. Can I get a mover? So moved by Councillor Passero. That item is on the floor for comments or question. Your Worship?
What if we could just get Mr. Cookett to give a little bit of background with respect to his knowledge with respect to this?
Through you, Chair, to the Worship, absolutely. We were approached a little while back. We have a resident from Fort Erie who is actually part of the Snowbirds who went up through the Air Cadets here in town. He approached us and said, would the town want to have the Snowbirds come and basically do some public relations works regarding the Snowbirds and as well as the Air Cadets? And we said, absolutely, what do we have to do? And basically what they're requesting is all we do is reimburse them for their cost. I think this is a great deal, and I think it will help promote the town of Fort Erie. They're requesting approximately $15,000 at the upset limit, and that is to provide lodging for the crew of 28. That's the pilots and the ground crew. We would have to pay for some diesel costs because that's what generates the smoke behind the airplane. So knowing that this is a great promoting tourism material, we talked to the EDTC and partnered with them, and they'd be willing to share the cost with us. So I think it's a great opportunity, as well as one of our own as part of the Snowbirds. So that's great.
Councillor Butler? Are you finished, Your Worship?
I am.
Thank you. Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Chair. Through you to Mr. Cookett. I just wondered, May 23rd is Monday, and 24th obviously follows Tuesday. So are they flying on the Monday, which is a holiday, or are they going to be flying on the Tuesday to entice the kids? It's Victoria Day weekend. And the only reason I know that is because the party on the patio is on the Saturday, on the 20th.
Yes, through you, Chair, to the Councillor. The first day will be for promoting the Snowbirds and the Air Cadets. They will be flying on the second day. That's there. So, unfortunately, I would have loved to have them come on the 20th, but their schedule is very booked up, so we're fortunate to get them for those 2 days.
I'm really glad that you followed my train of thought there. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed, that carries. Moving on to Part 5.1, that Council approves the 2017 Fort Erie Lions Senior Citizens Complex grant in the amount of $23,250. Can I have a mover? Councillor McDermott. I just want to state the Chair recognizes that Councillor Passero declared a conflict of interest on this. Are there any comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That carries. Moving to Part 5.2, the Council approves the 2017 Business Improvement Area Watering Grant in the amount of $28,000. Can I have a mover? Councillor Butler? That is on the floor for question or comment. Chair recognizes that Councillor Passero also declared a conflict on this item. Seeing no questions or comments, we'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. That carries. Part 5.3, the council approves the 2017 Beachcomber Senior Complex Grant in the amount of $10,500. Can I have a mover? Moved by Councilor Zanko. That is on the floor for comments or question. Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. That carries. Part 5.4, that council approves the 2017 Fort Erie Horticulture Society grant in the amount of $1,000. Moved by your worship.
Yes, I love flowers.
Comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Seeing none, that carries. Moving to part 5.5, the council approves the 2017 community events grants in the amount of $24,350. Moved by Councillor Butler. That is on the floor for comment or question. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Chair. I wonder if we could just get a brief explanation of what that is for. I just can't seem to find that paperwork.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes, this amount is amounts that are waived for facility fees and so on to community groups for use of town facilities. I believe a portion of it is for stuff, things such as ice rentals, but that is for use of facilities and waiving of town fees.
Are there, Councilor Passero?
Just want to add also for purchase of resources for community events. So if we need more barrels or cones or picnic tables, that's usually the fund that staff will dip into to make sure that we have the best stuff for our groups.
Are there any other questions or comments regarding this item? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. That carries. Moving to part 5.6, the council approves the 2017 EDTC grant in the amount of $657,158. Can I have a mover? Councilor McDermott, that item is on the floor for discussion or comment. Mr. Jansen?
Yes, thank you. I believe this amount, it should reflect the full amount with the supplementary amount, so with the approval of both the $50,000 and the $25,000. If you add that combined $75,000 in one-time supplementary grants, the total would be $732,158.
Your worship.
Well, we've already approved the two capital items, so I don't think we would be adding those into this item, would we? This is their operating budget.
Yeah, you could be right. I'm not sure to what extent this is really for... it's not to truly approve it. I know there is a history of approving grants that the town makes separately. So you're right that the grant is approved separately, but this is a section I think that we try to itemize the amounts that are going to various community groups, but I'm not sure that it is necessary to do it here.
Perhaps what we could do, Mr. Chair, is simply designate that as the operating budget, because this is what they've presented as their operating budget. Perhaps we could define it that way.
Yeah, that would be fine, I think.
Do we need a motion to add that, or can we? All right, I'll move that we add the words for operations.
For operations, okay. So just to recap so that everybody's on the same page, part 5.6, the council approves the 2017 EDTC grant in the amount of $657,158 for operating purposes?
Sure.
Okay, comments or questions on the amendment that the mayor has put forward? Yes, Councilor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Listening to the EDTC bring forward their request, and now and then they're also telling us what their priorities are and what they're going to do. The first two priorities are the CMS and the Miller Creek Marina. And there's been back and forth dialogue going back and forth with all parties. And from what I understand now, the CMS is mainly being spearheaded through our own staff. And the EDTC is, although they're cooperating and they're working with us, that the priority has shifted to our staff, and they're basically spearheading that program. The Miller Creek Marina, the EDTC was involved. Niagara Parks decided that they were going to work on a RFP on their own, so they stopped everything that was going on a while back, 2 years ago maybe, and so now they're handling it themselves. Again, the EDTC working with them, but not spearheading. So I don't know that I can support totally funding the EDTC in the amount suggested here because of the fact that they're not spearheading their top two priorities. Those top two priorities are on somewhere else. So I would think that this amount needs to be adjusted, not only by us. I think it needs to be adjusted by the EDTC so that it can truly reflect exactly what they're going to be providing us, the town of Fort Erie, for their services.
Your Worship, and then I'll go to Councilor Butler.
Thank you. So again, this is a type of issue that could have been raised when the EDTC representatives were here. I'm sure that the thinking then, earlier this month, would have been the same as it is this evening, Councilor Lubertson. It's unfortunate you didn't raise that. CMS is, I must say that there's been dialogue, with the principal representative of CMS and Mr. Cookett and me. There has been some internal work done on things that the municipality would have done in any event in terms of servicing, in terms of planning. So for the time being, there hasn't been a whole lot of activity that anybody's been involved in here locally because there's been background activity going on with the CMS. Mr. T-Bear hasn't been extremely involved at this stage, but I've had conversations with the principal, and I have no doubt that Mr. T-Bear will be involved as that project moves forward. With respect to the Miller Creek Marina, we just had a meeting this afternoon at the Parks Commission with the regional chair, members of his staff, Mr. Cookett and I, and Mr. T-Bear, to talk about the draft request for proposal, so that both Mr. T-Bear and David Oakes, the EDTC, or the Economic Development Manager for the region, have been very involved in that process in terms of making sure that the RFP goes out as broadly as it can. And the EDTC, in fact, has offered, and it's referred to in their material, to put forward some funding to assist the Niagara Parks Commission to broaden the reach of its efforts to get individuals or organizations to submit proposals in response to that request. The and he's encouraged the region to look at doing the same thing. So those are two projects. You're quite right. The town of Fort Erie identifies them as our top economic development projects. The region identifies them as among their top three projects, and they would be allocating similar type resources to what we do when it comes to planning and servicing down the road. That's a small portion of what the booklet contains. There are a number of other activities, and I had mentioned before four items that I think were extremely important that the EDTC did in 2016 and would expect that they will be pursuing the preparedness study and the recommendations that will flow out of that, that there will be a lot of work ahead of us with respect to the industrial land strategy, which we will be, if we adopt it, forwarding to the region to assist them in their municipal comprehensive review, which will become very important for us in terms of the allocation that the region has made to Fort Erie with respect to future population and jobs between now and 2041. The EDTC will be extremely involved in that because I expect that as we move to try to expand urban boundaries to bring in industrial land, Mr. Tiber will be part of that process, although a great deal of the burden will rest with our planning staff as well as the consultant that has worked on the industrial land strategy. There's continuing work with respect to the labor workforce strategy, and then there are the strategies that we as council have adopted in terms of growth and prosperity. So I don't believe that there's any shortage of work, and I don't believe that the lull in activity in recent months with respect to the CMS, which is heating up, or the former delay in the marina project is something that would materially affect what I expect will be the work that the EDTC will do this year. So I'm going to support this budget, and it's because of the reasons that I've expressed throughout the night.
Your Worship, thank you. Councillor McDermott, I'm just going to ask you to hold your comments because I shouldn't have let Councillor Lubert start to begin with, because we should only be discussing the amendment, not the actual we haven't amended this yet for the verbiage. So I'm just going to ask everybody to hold their comments until we vote on the amendment. No, you don't, Your Worship. You're fine. So I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of the amendment? The amendment was, I'll just read that again real quick, Part 5.6, the Council approves the 2017 EDTC grant in the amount of $657,158 for operating purposes. All those in favor? Opposed? One opposed, that carries. Now the that motion as amended, that Council approves the 2017 EDTC grant in the amount of $657,158 for operating purposes is on the floor. The Chair will recognize Councillor McDermott.
Well, thank you. at least tonight's been amusing for me. I get a big kick out of listening to some of this stuff. One thing that we don't speak about are some potential projects that come forward that have yet to be shored up. And there's always a huge amount of work involved in those. I don't buy any of the song and dance about him not, Mr. Tiber not being the spearhead of anything. I think he's taking, if anybody's spearheading the Miller Marina, it's certainly Jim Tiber. So I am not worried about the EDTC wasting your money, and I'm certain my constituents aren't either, because anybody that's paying attention and looking around town can see the benefits and the fruits of their labors. I mean, you need to look into Councillor Nutt's ward where the former windmill building is being taken over and new jobs there. The fact of the matter is there's new jobs with the greenstone that's going in the industrial park. So are they doing their job? Yes, they are. Have they given you full value for your buck? Yes, they are. It might be probably the most exciting year, most productive year they've had, but the conversation that we're having tonight is the same conversation that I hear each and every year for the past number of years. I sit there at the EDTC to prove a point. You cannot... I use the adage of the horse track just for T-Bear's sake. You know, if you beat a horse long enough, you'll never run for you. And I don't operate that way. I try to sit on that board to be a motivator, to be progressive, and to get the job done. I see nothing to this point that disproves that situation. So I support the efforts of the EDTC. They have a young, excited staff who work very hard and who are dedicated to helping our community. And each and every one of them, by the way, volunteer in this community in many ways. And so I am giving them my full support tonight.
Thank you. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to call the question.
Councillor Butler wants to speak to me. Thank you. Go ahead. Well, I was going to go to Councillor Lubberts too, because he... All right. Did you want to call it the question?
Yes.
I recognize the chair recognized Councillor Passero, so please proceed.
I'd like to call the question, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we'll call him. He's calling it the question. We'll vote now. Yeah, we'll vote on calling it the question. Correct, right? Right. Got to vote on the call to question. Yes. All those in favor? Opposed? That carries. Now we'll call the question on item part 5.6. The council approves the 2017 EDTC grant in the amount of $657,158 for operating purposes. All those in favor? Opposed? That's carried. One opposed. Moving on to part 5.7, the council approves the 2017 Forty Republic Library grant in the amount of $1,470,842.
So moved.
Your Worship, are there comments or questions? Councillor McDermott?
Well, there's no doubt that I'm going to support this budget. I sat on the library board for a long time, intermittently, and probably one board that's consistently looking after the public's needs with regards to how the library could be a catalyst for all that's right, for our children, for literacy, for so many programs that are of interest to the community. I'm grateful that we have such a vast library system here. We have three libraries, all of them effective, all of them working very hard. And I know that the leadership with Craig and Larry have done their very best at bringing us a budget that we should all be able to live with. And I'm hoping tonight that we're going to leave it alone and just move forward with this budget. And I appreciate all your work at the library and give my regards to all the staff. Thank you.
Your Worship.
I'm going to support this, and I want to echo what Councillor McDermott has said. Councillor McDermott, I sat on the library board when you were a young man. I was younger than myself. I've had the pleasure of knowing five of the CAOs or CEOs of the library, and I must say that some of them have been very talented and extremely good chief librarians, and Mr. Shufelt may be the best of that group. So that is, in comparison with those who preceded you, that is high praise. It's a very well-run organization. As Councillor McDermott says, we have three branches, although one of them is small. Municipalities of our size do not have that type of library service, and that affects accessibility. So we're very fortunate in this community that we have such a good and dedicated staff and board and volunteers who assist. There's some wonderful programs that are run there. The Fortery Library has been at the cutting edge on many things, including went to what do you call the technology. There was a word in the day for that when I was younger. But the Fortery Library was consulted by libraries from all over Canada. I remember it may have been Halifax that actually contacted the town of Fortery when they were into digitization. So I support this. This is very good value for the money that we expend. This is a service that probably touches more lives of the residents of this community than anything else that we do other than the infrastructure, which all people use. But in terms of recreation, this would be the place in terms of education, in terms of expanding your knowledge. And you will see people of all ages, all backgrounds at the libraries in this community at all kinds of times. And particularly for newcomers from foreign countries, this is a good spot for them to go because they can utilize the services there and they become part of our community. So I commend you, gentlemen. Sorry you had to wait so long to hear the news that your budget is going to be approved, but well done.
Thank you, Your Worship. Councilor Lubitz?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the fact that you allow me to comment on this before you call the question. It's disappointing that I'm only allowed to comment on certain items, but just a comment to the library board and the members that are here today. Mr. Neufeld, I say this to you every year. I talk to a lot of constituents in my area, a lot of the residents in my area as well that are from the United States. And year after year, they comment constantly about how our library system in Fort Erie is much better than the system that they have in Buffalo. So I commend you again, and thank you very much for all the hard work. And I'm certainly going to support your budget. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Councilor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to recognize that in addition to the three branches, the library also makes spaces available elsewhere. We have a great one at the top of the steps in the hallway at the Leisureplex that they helped to spearhead. And I wanted to also say thank you to the Friends of the Fort Erie Public Library who were able to make some donations to cover off some assets that otherwise wouldn't be available. The mayor touched on it. We're definitely on the leading edge of technology, whether it was the Wi-Fi, the introduction of the tablets. I know Councilor McDermott's first time around on the library board, they had tablets, but they were stone tablets. So we've gone electronic now, and great things to come. So thank you both.
Are there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? And opposed, that carries. Moving on to Part 6.1, that Council approves the 2017 Bridgeburg Station Business Improvement Area Levy of $41,000. Can I have a mover? Moved by Councilor Zanko. That item's on the floor for discussion. Seeing none, the Chair recognizes that Councilor Passero declared a conflict on this. I'll call to question. All those in favor? Opposed? Seeing none, that carries. Moving to Part 6.2, that Council approves the 2017 Ridgeway Business Improvement Area Levy of $35,000. Can I have a mover? Councillor Butler, that item is on the floor for comment or question. Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Seeing none, that carries. Part 6.3, that Council approves the 2017 Crystal Beach Business Improvement Area Levy of $9,700. Moved by Councillor McDermott. I'll call the question or comments or questions. Councilor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question, how we are arriving at a decrease over the previous year's budgets. You generally don't see that from a BIA.
Mr. Jansen?
Yeah, you'll see attached with the package the submission from the BIA. In this case, the BIAs are able to carry forward any surpluses from the prior year. So you'll notice that they are bringing forward for 17 $4,500 to meet their expenditures of $15,000. So last year's budget was only slightly higher in terms of the levy at $9,900. So it is in keeping with prior years.
Mr. Chair, thank you for that, Mr. Jansen, but don't any increases or decreases to the levy have to go to the membership? I'm just looking at the AGM, and I don't see any topic of discussion that the membership voted to decrease the levy portion. I realize the numbers still add up to where they need to be, but the BIA levy is generally a constant unless the membership approves to go up or down.
Mr. Jansen?
Yeah, my comment there would just be that they did review the budget that's included, on page 24, which did itemize the levy amount. So whether it's explicit or not, I suppose they would have reviewed that in the meeting and approved the budget as written, which had the levy amount presented.
Okay. I'll have to go back and look because I'm not well-versed in it, but I thought that there had to be some type of special meeting provision, and 50% of the membership would have to be consulted versus BIA levy increases or decreases, but I could be wrong. My second question then would be to council's representative on the levy. Looking forward to 2018 and 2019, we're looking at 15.2 and 16.2. Is the plan then to go to the membership to ask for a levy increase?
Yes,
through you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and to Councilor Passero. I think at the BIA meetings, they call their members. They call the meetings, their annual general meetings, and budgets are discussed. And so when they forecast, those are just forecasts, the numbers as to what they're going to bring forward. And again, they'll have their annual general meeting. They'll notify their members as the rules state that they have to notify them. And when the members are there, they'll have to vote. And I don't know that 50% of the members have to be there to vote. Otherwise, you wouldn't get a budget approved if 50% of the members didn't show up. So I think it's just the majority that's there need to approve. So they will follow the annual general meeting rules as set out in our ABC handbook, the same as all the other BIAs.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Luberts. Councillor Passero, do you have any other questions or comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Nothing budget related, but just because it jogs my mind, congratulations to the CBA on another very well-run polar bear dip, hoping for warmer weather next year.
Are there any other Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to follow up on Councillor Passero's question and ask through you to Mr. Jansen, if a BIA does have a surplus and they do carry it forward, so for example, if they had $10,000 in the levy and they had a $5,000 surplus and they carried that over and they asked the town to provide the following year just $5,000 to top it off, instead of the 10, the full 10, that other $5,000 that they normally would have asked for, does that go back as a credit to the membership that pay into it if it's voted upon?
Through the chair, in that scenario, it's the $5,000 surplus from the prior year that's offsetting the total expense budget. So if they had wanted to spend $10,000 in 17, they had a $5,000 surplus in 16 to carry forward, then the levy would just be for the difference, if that's how they structured it, of the $5,000. So it's a credit towards the next year's budget. That's how they're applying it this year. Alternatively, they could use reserves as well and keep the levy the same and put surplus amounts towards certain reserves.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That carries. Okay, moving on to Part 7. The Council approves the town's general levy of $25,527,369, comprised of base budget of $24,035,797. Actually, there would have been a change to this, right, because we...
That's right. If you look at the screen, we now have the updated amounts on the green line for these totals. So the first number, so if I may, I'll just read what the amended amounts would be.
Certainly.
It would be that council approves the town's general levy of $25,402,369, comprised of base budget of the same amount of $24,035,797, and supplementary budget of $1,366,572, and direct staff to submit the related bylaw for approval on February 27, 2017.
Okay, Part 7 is on the floor for comment or question, Your Worship.
I'll move it.
Sorry. Thank you for moving it, Your Worship. Now it's on the floor. Comments or questions? Councillor Passero?
Yeah, I think the chair and myself would like to thank staff for all of their hard work in putting this together and making council look good as far as where the numbers shake out at the end of the day. Tough decisions are made throughout the year to arrive at the information we use to deliberate. Never easy decisions. I know we'd all like to spend more in a number of areas, but we're always trying to walk that fine balance between doing what we need to do for today, setting aside money for tomorrow, and keeping in mind the residents' ability to constantly keep paying, which we should never be forgetting about. And now that we're wrapping up tonight, I think staff's work on the 2018 budget starts tomorrow, does it not, Mr. Jansen? It seems to be a never-ending cycle. So thank you to staff, and thank you to my colleagues, and specifically Chair Nutt, for a very well-run budget session this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Passero. Are there any other comments or questions? I'd just like to echo Councillor Passero's thoughts and thank all the staff for their hard work. I know that we've asked in these last couple of years that we start to look at the budget earlier in the year so that we can get better pricing on our infrastructure projects, et cetera, to make our dollar stretch. And I'd just like to commend all the staff at the town on their hard work on getting those numbers in as quickly as possible and turning this around as quickly as they do. It's much appreciated. If there's no other comments or questions, I'll call to question. All those in favor? None opposed, that carries. And we'll move on to part eight, the last item, that council excludes capital asset amortization of $5,975,600 from the 2017 general levy operating budget. Can I have a mover? So moved by Councillor Zanko. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed, that carries. And I'll turn the chair back to His Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nutt. And I'm going to assume, Mr. Jansen, that we do not need to have a meeting next Wednesday since we've gotten through this agenda. I want to thank Councillor Nutt and Councillor Passero for their work on this budget. This budget didn't start where we see it today. And as Councillor Passero had alluded to at the very beginning of the meeting, although it seems like we're going through a lot of issues, a lot of expenditures in the course of less than 3 hours, this has been a very long process. I particularly want to commend the staff because they have done what I consider to be an extraordinary job. We are at a point where the increase in the tax bill for the median household will be 2.76%. And that's not zero, but when you consider the steps that we are taking with respect to our infrastructure, that really accounts for a great portion of that. That's a building block to the future. It's a major part of growth and prosperity, which is our prime strategy along with a sustainable infrastructure. It also takes into account the fact that we're going to be expanding our public transit system, which again is fundamental to our ability to grow as a community and to meet the needs of our residents. So I want to commend all of the councillors for the time and energy that you've put into this, all of the comments, because we are accountable to the residents. And so sometimes we don't agree on issues, but certainly from my perspective, having listened to all of the comments this evening, I appreciate them. I know that the residents appreciate them. And I'm looking forward to being able to implement the things that we have approved tonight as we go forward. So having said that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Sorry, Councillor Lubberts. Motion to adjourn.
No, I'm just wondering if we can, just before we go, if Mr. Jansen can just give us the bottom line here,
sure,
just for the people that are listening, and so that everybody knows where we're at with what we've approved tonight.
It's a very good point, because we're looking at a screen, but the public, I don't think, sees the screen, unless they're the public that's sitting here tonight.
Sure. The total general levy then for 2017 is $25,402,369, which is a 2.08% of the levy net of assessment growth. For the median Fort Erie household, that is 5.85% of the Fort Erie portion, but the total tax bill year over year is 2.76% increase.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Yes, Counselor, Your Worship.
Counselor Nutt, you're my right-hand man.
The Council of Fort Erie, Town of Fort Erie, hereby adjourns at 8:49 p.m.
All those in favor? That is carried. Thank you all.